Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you that we invite your call, your participation, your dialogue and discussion on the issue each and every day as we come to you by way of Let's Face the Issues. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe we need to understand, especially as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. The question is, do we have Christian persecution in America today? Simply put, are Christians being persecuted in America? I don't know if you could ask it any simpler fashion, but are we facing persecution in America today for the Christian? Most of the time, I believe, as Christians, we go back and say, well, yeah, you know, I've read in the Bible where Christians got persecuted. They were sawn asunder. They were slain. The study of the Hebrews 11 text, and you find what had taken place. You look at the book of Acts, and you see what happened with Stephen. He was stoned to death because of his Christian faith. You read the scripture where the Apostle Paul was chasing down, prosecuting, and persecuting Christians, had warrants for their arrest, putting them in jail, putting them in prison, and taking their lives. And most of the time, most Christians will agree, yeah, those things took place. Those things were bad, and those things ought not to happen. But many Christians do not realize that Christian persecution is taking place today. We want to talk about that, look at illustrations of that, and understand what the scripture says, and then ask the question, how should we then live? What do we do in face of Christian persecution? How should we respond to it? We have Pastor Glenn Davis with us today. Pastor Davis has been on a slight vacation for a while.
Amen.
But we're delighted to have you back. We're looking forward to what God says to each of us as we look at this through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. I call it the truth book. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Further, he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're set free by knowing the word of God, by staying in the scripture, and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is rejected, repelled, dissed, as the world calls it today, perhaps as no other time in the history of America. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made a statement that I believe is applicable. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be very true today. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge you once again today, ladies and gentlemen, to seek the truth, to love the truth, to listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and be willing to defend the truth even to death. And I believe, especially as we talk about this subject today, Christian persecution in America, it stands to reason that we need to stand up for truth and to speak the truth and not be afraid of facing the truth and facing the enemy with the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7 over the campus of Tools for Time. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday so that all of its staff can go to the house of God and worship with the children of God as God's Word intends for us to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's a very serious subject, but let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of the internet today, that area code is 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say by way of a preliminary introduction to where we're going. Today, I believe that we're facing with persecution even to the level that we find in the New Testament and as we find in the Scripture in relationship to those being persecuted. What is happening today is more subtle. It's not open and in your face as it was in the first century church.
Amen.
But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's very real, and many of those that are promulgating and pushing the persecution comes from the very top down. It comes from the Oval Office down. In this administration that we're in today, the Biden family cabal and the scabs from the Obama administration that's running our nation today, I believe we're seeing progressive Christian persecution. And I believe it is increasing. I believe that it is increasing at an exponential level. I believe that we're going to see persecution even to the point of broader prosecution than we're seeing today.
Amen.
As a result of what we see the Biden administration and all of the scabs from the Obama administration doing today. It's found, some think that it's just found, perhaps you're listening today and you say, well, persecution, yes, I believe it, but I don't believe it's happening today. In fact, I read a very broad article, Pastor Davis. I just read it this morning. It says, progressive Christians do not believe that we're facing Christian persecution. And it goes on to talk about how progressive Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not heard that word before, progressive Christianity is simply, as I put it, fake, phony, false, pop-up Christianity, where they're willing to embrace the sodomite lifestyle, embracing the CRQ, the critical race theory, that is, willing to embrace the abortion on demand, willing to embrace all that the woke, lost culture places before them so that they will not be demeaned and will be embraced as a church. Multitudes, if not all of our denominations today, ladies and gentlemen, have slipped over the edge of sliding into what could be designated as progressive Christianity. In the April issue of Decision Magazine, Franklin Graham said progressive Christianity, progressive Christians, and progressive Christianity will send people to hell, and they do not realize what is happening. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply at the very outset of this broadcast today segment for you, separate for you the fact that we have true Christians today and those that are called Christians, but they're progressive Christians that is willing to embrace anything to keep from being persecuted, to keep from being ostracized, to keep from being demeaned, and as a result of that, they're viewed as Christians and Christian churches, but they're embracing everything that the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God stands against.
Amen.
So simply put, Pastor Davis, there are some under the guise and the banner of Christianity that are saying that they have no problem with what the world is doing and embracing it, and they do so because they do not want to face persecution and prosecution, and really, that is not biblical Christianity.
Amen.
So, Pastor, do you think that, they're a very simple question, but we'll progressively go through this. Do you think Christians are being persecuted today, and why do you think that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, thank you, first of all, for having me to join you again on today.
Amen.
I thank God, amen, for always the opportunity to be with
yes.
you. I count that a great privilege and
amen.
A blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And we just love you so much for that.
Amen. Thank you.
And I thank God, amen, for your stance, your
yes.
open stance that you take. Amen. Because I know you stand upon the word of God.
Amen.
I can see the fruit in your life and everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And I hope and pray that others will embrace that.
Yes.
Because God is still looking for, amen, true worshipers, amen, to worship him in the spirit and in the truth.
Yes.
And the only way that you're going to know how to do that, how to proceed with your worship, amen, without it being tainted by sin, amen, is to know his word.
Yes.
Amen. So it's very important for us on today to, amen, take hold of this delivery, amen, of the word, amen, that you are proceeding with, not only today, but every day that you come on the broadcast, amen. There's always a takeaway, amen, that the people of God should be able to grasp a hold of,
yes.
amen, in order to help them to face what is going on in this world and in this society
mm-hmm.
on today. Because truly, as we began to talk about this before the broadcast, amen, what came across my mind, Dr. Youngblood, I believe what's happening before, amen, the eyes of everyone, and they don't even realize it, there is a Rip Van Winkle effect,
mm-hmm.
amen, that's going on. Whether you, amen, are able to know it or observe it, or even understand what you are seeing, it is happening,
mm-hmm.
amen, right before your very faces. Each and every day that we wake up, amen, something has changed from yesterday. But what you need to know, amen, and understand, amen, that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same
yes.
yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So what we should do, amen, is to stick with the word of God, amen. Titus chapter 2, amen, verse 12 tells us, amen, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Yes.
Amen. So, amen, regardless of what we see going on, amen, in the world on today, we still have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, yes, persecution, amen, is very much alive. But wake up and smell the coffee, amen.
Amen.
Don't let it keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
Know and understand, amen, that you have, amen, absolute authority, amen, through the word of God to stand up against what you see.
And as the text you just shared, because the persecution takes place does not mean we're to be sit in silence or that we are to in some way ignore it, but keep living righteously before the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I believe we have Michael on the line. Go ahead, Michael, with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to throw in my 2 cents for whatever it's worth. I was saved in April of 1995, and since that time, since about June of 95, it has been my honor, it has been my privilege to be a street preacher. And I suspect that the current focus that modern Christianity has on, modern American Christianity has on the persecution, it's kind of weird to me because it's been happening to those of us that preach outside the whole time. We preach a lot in Jacksonville, preach a lot in South Georgia, and we've been Georgia, Florida game, we get the beer poured on us, and St. Patrick's Parade in Savannah, we get spit on, and the Pride Parade in Fernandina, we get mistreated. So that's nothing new, and I think the reason most Christians in America don't know anything about it is because most Christians in America never witnessed to anybody. So whatever that's worth.
You're exactly right, and the more we live for Christ, the more we stand and wave the flag of spirituality and Christianity and share the gospel. We're viewed as the fruitcakes, the nuts, the borderline people, and we are laughed at and mocked at. And that's what we'll talk about on this broadcast also, Michael, is
yeah.
how do we view persecution? What are some of the indications of persecution? What are some of the nuances of persecution? Persecution today is not just as you're faced with being spit upon and castigated because of preaching the gospel in unusual venues, as it would be called in street preaching, but not just in that, but there are different nuances of the persecution. Right now, for example, Elizabeth Warren is advocating that all of the pro-life centers be ruled and regulated more by the federal government and shut down. She says, shut them all down. It's her mindset. That is open, in-your-face Christian persecution. And I believe, Michael, we're coming very rapidly to the day that there will be the forced church closures, which is another indication of total open persecution, as it was in the first century churches. In fact, that was started 2.5 years ago when the lockdown of the churches was mandated, but the bars and the lounges and the whorehouses were left open, but yet churches were forced to be closed and caused to be locked down.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Is a major, major, major indication that we as Christians, we as churches, we have allowed the government to persecute the Christian and the church, and we've been silent about it. We've submitted to it. And as a result of that, I personally believe that it's going to get exponentially worse in the days and the years before us.
Well, the good news is, there's two good news. First, Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Second of all, our family, the family of God has been doing this since day one. So this is just our turn.
You're exactly right.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you so much for your call, Michael. God bless you. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, I believe, a very, very serious subject today. Do we have Christian persecution in America? Just as Michael was talking about, our previous caller, talking about as street preaching, how there's the ridicule, the mockery, the confrontation. That is open in your face persecution for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, some in a little less obvious fashion. But ladies and gentlemen, let's just look at it a moment. Think about what is Christian persecution. It's hostility. First of all, it's hostility and ill treatment of Christians because of our faith. Hostility and ill treatment for our faith. I'm looking at an article that says, yes, Christians are being persecuted in America today, and here's how we can respond. And it shows the picture of the front entrance to a church, and it says, if abortion ain't safe, you ain't safe either. That is open in your face Christian persecution. Looking at this article, this writer says, despite what some may claim, Christians are being persecuted in America today. That might be hard to hear, but it's true. Even though the United States is arguably the freest nation on the planet and offers the First Amendment protection, Christians still face already increasing persecution here between our shining seas. It's talking about shore-to-shore persecution. We need to recognize, this writer says, we need to recognize this and prepare for it to get exponentially worse, end quote. When making such a factual statement as Christians are persecuted in America, you will inevitably be met by a chorus of, actually, no, we're not being persecuted. This internet active crowd apparently refuses to call anything persecution until heads are rolling, stakes are burning, and the lions are digesting the remains of the fateful few. End quote. This article further states, but this astronomical position is twofold. First, that's not what the word persecution means. That is, I've just head rolling, et cetera, et cetera. He goes further. The definition of persecution includes that ill treatment toward believers and that takes place based on political or religious beliefs. Ladies and gentlemen, if you got a political belief that's against the woke cancel culture today, you'll be persecuted. And generally, ladies and gentlemen, you can find the political beliefs align with a spiritual belief.
Amen.
For example,
Amen.
And I say this very openly, it's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, for you out there if you say, I'm a Democrat, but I'm saved. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an oxymoron. It's an impossibility. If you're
Amen.
A Democrat and you follow the Democrat planks, if you will, in their beliefs, you believe that murdering of a human being in the mother's womb is okay. You believe that the sodomite lifestyle is all right. You believe that teaching the CRT in the classrooms to destroy the race relations in America is okay. Then, ladies and gentlemen, if that's what you believe, it's antithetical to anything that's called the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. If you put it in the young blood vernacular, it's poor grammar, but it makes a point. You ain't saved if that's what you believe. So you can hide behind a political plank, a political designation, and argue it. And I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're Republican, that means you're saved. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that the political divide is a good indication and white flag, red flag, if you please, standing up and saying that there's the difference between those that say that they're saved and that they're Republican. Those that say they're saved and are Democrat makes a vast, vast difference. This writer continues to say here that hostility that's there. But there's no conceivable doubt that Christians are facing with hostility and ill treatment today for their faith in America. So definitionally, the prosecution deniers are missing the very point. Even worse, they are wrong from a biblical understanding of the word. Jesus clearly taught that persecution can and will take place in many forms and sometimes can result in death, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, do we have Christian persecution in America? Love to hear from you. Do you believe that's taking place? If so, what have you seen, what have you found that validates that Christian persecution is unreal, it's not taking place, or that it is? I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question. Comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for today's topic that is Christianity. Are you being persecuted? And I'd like to remind our listeners that this is not just a free news broadcast. It's not that you're trying to bring people up to the daily news. What your ultimate goal is to get souls saved, that Amen. You don't spend eternity in a devil's hell.
That's right.
Amen.
And yes, all you have to do is look. You know, the Sweet Cakes Bakery out in Seattle, they've lost their business due to a battle over not baking a cake for a homosexual marriage. And more we see that. And more you're going to see the rights are taken away from Christians. It's kind of like you can pass your salt shaker over the salad, but you can't turn it over and dump any salt out. So I'd like to remind our listeners that this broadcast won't keep going on forever. You don't have to just tune it in and listen to it. Yeah, well, things are okay. Dr. Youngblood's still on the radio. No, it's not. It's not going to stay that way, because when you look at the way things are going, it is being persecuted. There'll be a form of it, but it'll be like your salt shaker passing over the salad, but you can't dump the salt out. And I'd just like to remind the listeners that there is a chance, or there's a cast, and have this truth spread. But that's going to be taken away.
Tom, you're cutting in and out on us.
Yes. I said the fact that we had the Supreme Court's looking that homosexual marriage is going to be the norm, the law tells you that there the homosexual couples, or you can't keep the church open. So I just like to ask the listeners to contribute as long as the opportunity is there.
Amen.
And I thank you.
Tom, thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much for your support of this broadcast each and every month. And may that be an indication of the need for others to join in the support for Let's Face the Issues, because we simply want to face the issues based on a central biblicist theological position. And as a result of that, there are a lot of folks today that do not agree with the broadcast and what is being said. And I understand that. But that's a good indication, illustration of what we're talking about with the Christian persecution in America. And you touched on, Tom, a moment ago, ladies and gentlemen, touched on the cake baker, Sweet Cakes bake shop, because they refused to bake a sodomite wedding cake. the florist in Washington State that refused to do flower arrangements for a sodomite couple. They were prosecuted and persecuted all the way to the Supreme Court, and still in that process today. One has gone through it now for over 12 years with the prosecution and the persecution because of her Christian faith. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, what counts as persecution? Any number of different things. It could be a slander at you. It could be mockery because of your faith. It could be you could be passed over for promotion at a consulting firm simply because you refuse to fly the LGBTQ flag over your cup or your cubicle during the month of June. It's anything and everything from suffering social ostracization to being put on a train and taken to a death camp. Christians would do well to recover a robust understanding of this and prepare for it, rather than sticking their heads in the sands of cultural pablum. And now the real threat is the rising of a theocracy or a Christo-fascism is what we're being accused of. Rather than looking at that, ladies and gentlemen, saying I'm going to be silent because I don't want to look as though that's what I'm trying to do.
Amen.
This article says, consider that churches were forced to close with no solid scientific evidence supporting that decision at that time, and none has been provided since, from months of 2020 to 2021, even as casinos and strip clubs were allowed to stay open. For years, private Christian business owners have been dragged to court and targeted for destruction because of their stand against the LGBTQ movement in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's persecution. And that persecution is on the rise. That persecution is going to lead to ultimate prosecution in America for Christians if we allow it to continue.
Amen.
Pastor
Amen.
Davis, what would you describe as the most obvious Christian persecution that we see happening in general today? For the average Christian, the average church member, the average pastor, what is the most obvious Christian persecution that you observe?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, it's not very hard to spot it.
Yes.
You know, as you said before, basic freedoms that we have enjoyed all down through the years, ever since we came together as a nation,
yes.
Ever since the founding fathers put this thing together and gave us certain unalienable rights.
Yes.
If I could say that word,
that's right.
That's a tongue twister.
It
amen.
Is.
but you know what I mean.
Yes.
Amen. But these basic rights, amen, are vanishing every single day. As I just got finished saying a little bit earlier, like Rip Van Winkle, many are sleeping, and by the time they wake up, the whole world is going to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid, amen, of this, that this is exactly what's happening in the modern day church on today.
Yes.
Some of the ones, amen, who claim to be those that believe in preserving certain rights are doing so based on the woke culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still haven't found out what they're woke to
right.
or woke from.
Yeah, you're right.
But when we look at these things that they are promoting, everything that they do are working against Christians and Christianity.
Antithetical to anything that's called spirituality.
Amen.
But one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that we've seen now since the early 1960s is where the Bible is banned in a classroom. That's Christian persecution. Prayer in the classroom is banned. That's Christian persecution. Where the teacher cannot talk about Jesus in the classroom, that's Christian persecution. But yet our classrooms today, ladies and gentlemen, the students can be taught all about the sodomite lifestyle. They can be shown raw pornographic material. They can be taught that God is not real. They can be taught that we evolved from a blob in the ocean. And that is Christian persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, and it's taking place, and it has been taking place now for some 60-plus years, and Christians have been silent. Moms and dads seem to think, well, I can teach Bible at home. They don't need to have that in the classroom. But ladies and gentlemen, you take the Ten Commandments out of that classroom experience, and then as a culture, we wonder why little Johnny wants to go out and shoot people. We wonder why little Johnny wants to be a pothead, drug head. You wonder why little Johnny doesn't want to obey mom and dad. It's simply because of the lack of that cultural thing being taught in the classroom called biblical Christianity.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to understand and wake up to the fact that we're being persecuted and prosecuted as Christians today. We'll talk about that further right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.